It's a wonderful morning. I know some of you with observant skills, you know, people probably noticed there's a new roof up here and stuff like that, you know, just, and, you know, where I come from, we just fought with a lawnmower and, you know, some of us lost, but I think the lawnmower was kind of kind, don't you think? There's somebody in this place here that has some good skills. I won't mention his name. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. Wonderful sunny day, but when you step outside, it's a whole nother thing still, right? But we're hoping for those warmer days and just rejoice in that. We continue on in the Word of God and Luke chapter 5, following Jesus' steps there. You know, a mother, you know, just like any, pretty much just has that same, you know, that joy of going to see the Lord and be a part of the worship service and just meeting with him. And she brought her young son with him. And she did that, you know, week after week after week. And then she decided, oh, they have night services too. So, you know, after the morning service, they go back home, eat, and do whatever. And then, you know, there's a night service. So she wanted to take her son along. You know, she's, you know, this is very important. Well, of course, the son was already having a tough enough time going to his boring morning services, so he's going, oh, no, I don't want to go. Oh, you can switch to the next one there, Jeff. One of these days, I'm going to get a remote. But, you know, and then this little boy is going, no. And she's going, yes, yes, yes. And he said, well, he's thinking, okay, if you're going to make my life difficult, I'm going to make your life difficult. So when they got into, she held his hand, kind of dragged him into church and sat down. And he started to go, okay, what is around the church here? I can ask this question. What are those lights over there? What color is that? You know, oh, what's that over there? You know, what's on the wall over there? You know, so he kept on, you know, asking all these questions, and the mom would answer, and, you know, just to be polite. And then finally, he had pretty much ran out everything he could do to try to, you know, make things tough on her. And then he spotted three flags by the minister. He says, well, what's that one on this left side? And his mom says, well, that's one for the young person's organization that's represented there. And he says, oh, what's the other one on the other side of him? He says, well, that's the national flag. Don't you know that by now? That's your flag, the country's flag. And he says, oh, and what's that one behind him? And she says, well, that's to commemorate, you know, those who gave their lives in the service. And the boy kind of paused a little bit and says, oh, Mom, what service did they die in, the morning or the evening? Now, I don't want you to say anything. All right, well, I'm just giving that just to kind of warm you up here. So, if people are having, there is one of those AED machines and stuff like that back there, so we have that just in case. So, yes, we praise the Lord. Jesus is on the move. Next, please, sir, Jeff. And things that we're learning about, that Jesus has an end game, all right? We know the end game. His mission is to die for us because we need somebody to die for us. Otherwise, we have to die for ourselves, and that's not a good thing because we don't have the, there's nowhere else for us to go except for eternity without the Lord. But he's sinless, walk of Christ after all the temptations he's faced. And his mission is to not only die for us, to atone. Atonement is really a covering. Like he put a blanket or something over us so that sin of ours cannot be seen anymore. So he died for us to take away our sins. And then, of course, the grave and death could not hold him. He has all the power. He's the one that, as that song, you know, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Couldn't hold him. So he rose again. And that's, you know, we're celebrating that in another month. That's his end game. Unswerving as he goes forth into that, to go to that end game to complete it. He was drawing a lot of attention from the people because of his teaching was so much different from the teaching of the day, you know, which was kind of boring and people weightless, and, you know, they were referring to one another as rabbis, but they weren't really referring to God. It's like they didn't really have a relationship with God. So these people saw something different in Jesus. So many more people were coming, and there was an excitement building. And his teaching wasn't just words, but it was power. There was power and authority in it, because he was healing people with his words and his touch. And he was speaking, and demons were leaving and just doing amazing things. So there's just a great stir going on there. And Jesus continues to, even though people offer him, oh, you can be our pastor here for as long as you want. You know, he could have the easy road, but he continues to choose the hard and difficult path to finish his end game. Unswerving commitment of Christ to finish the task that his Father has given him on our behalf. Wonderful. Next, please, Jeff. So, question. If I wrote on a piece of paper, and I gave you each a piece of paper, and I just asked this, had this question on it, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, I think we'd probably have many different type of answers there. And if you went into the community and did the same thing, then you're going to get a lot, even more different type of answers and stuff. Well, one thing that we see, and what I've seen in my own walk and myself, but also for others that I meet here in this country and other countries as well, one of the bigger obstacles to understanding how to follow Jesus, what it means to do it, is called ignorance, all right? And ignorance comes up in many different ways. You know, people just they have not really encountered the truth of Christ. They haven't really fully looked in his face. They haven't really encountered. They get a little bit of this, they hear a little bit of that, and they start going, oh, is that what it means? That's Jesus, you know? They just get bits and parts, you know? It's kind of like those blind men come up to an elephant, and they start, one of them touches the leg and says, oh, it's a big tree stump. Another one touches the trunk. Oh, it's like a snake, you know? But they don't get the whole picture. So if somebody says, well, what is an elephant like? This one guy would say, well, it's like a snake. Another guy would say, oh, it's like a tree. You know, but they don't get the whole thing. It's, you know, it's a big beast, you know, a big body, you know, tons, weighs heavy, strong, skin is rough, you know, that type of thing, you know. So a lot of people, if you haven't met them, I'm sure you have, you know, you talk to them about Jesus and they start throwing some things out there and you're kind of going, wait a second, this isn't the same Jesus. I know. It's because of ignorance, because of all the things they hear from other people or on social media or whatever, or maybe growing up they get bits and parts, you know, their church maybe didn't preach the full word of God, the truth, you know, the gospel. And then they get a weird picture. Some people become disillusioned with religion because of their experience or the boredom, like that child being dragged to church or whatever. You know, and they start attaching these negative things to Jesus, you know, because of what we do, right? Sometimes the church does hurt people. And people get hurt and they have a really bad taste in their mouth and they just relate it, oh, that's Jesus. But it isn't. That's man. And we're fallen. We have a lot of problems. So there's a lot of things. And then there's compromise. You have somebody, you know, you have this guy here, the ignorance of, you know, reading the newspaper on a railroad track. Yeah, there you go. That's me a few years back. Then you have somebody sitting on a fence. There's a lot of fence sitters. You know, oh, yeah, you know. You go to Thailand, those people are very good fence sitters because they like to grab a little bit of this, oh, Buddhism, Hinduism, oh, a little bit of animism over here. Oh, Jesus, yes, I like Jesus too. He's powerful. He's going to save me. You know, so they bring it all together, but they ride the fence. They don't want to commit one way or another. They don't want to jump on one side. They just want to stay up there and balance. This is good for me. I'm making my own path. I'm going to get to heaven. I got it. I got this. I got that. I got this. I'm going to get there for sure. So there's a lot of different ideas of what it is to follow Jesus. Next, please. So today, we're going to look at the scripture and hopefully get a lot clearer view of what it is. Before that, let's take some time to pray and give this to the Lord. Father God, thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that we can look in your wonderful face and see that wonderful grace of yours towards us, your love, and knowing that this world really isn't all that special, really. It's you. The things that this world offer us, some stuff, some comforts, but it can only temporary, Lord. We know that. But you offer us things for eternity. Thank you for your word. Guide us, teach us by your power of your Holy Spirit. Speak through me. And may you receive all the honor and glory. And may we just take these words and these things that you're teaching us and to live them. Live them before people around us in hopes that they will come to know who you truly are as well. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, turn back to chapter 5 there. Verse 1, just saying, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or actually, it's just another word for Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, with people crowding around him. What were the people doing? The crowd was what? This is one of the first important things that we need to know about following Jesus. What was the crowd doing? What's that? Yeah, listening. Listening to what? The Word of God. Okay? So they're doing it right. That's the first thing that we need to do. If you're going to follow Jesus, you better listen to the Word of God. Okay, it's by hearing that we are saved, right? In Romans it says that. You know, without hearing the word, we're not going to be saved. We have the word right here. We can read it. Okay, it's very important to have that word in our lives. If you're going to know Jesus, you got to know the word. If you're not in the word, how are you going to know Jesus? If you don't open up the apps on your phone and go to the GPS and know how to get to this one place, which we have to do often here because we don't know this part of the world very well, so we go on our GPS to find places. But if we don't open it up, how are we going to know how to get there? We don't know which way to follow. I'll go this way and that way. I'll end up back up in Southern California on a beach in 70-degree temperatures. What was that, Joe? You were mentioning sunscreen? Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to that. I remember that. Yes, sunscreen. Do you guys use that here? Really? I hope we'll find that out someday soon. So, yes, so listening to the Word of God is very important. Matthew 7, 24, 27. I'm not going to read that for you, but I'm just going to give you a little summary. You know, it's listening. You know, we have a lot of people that listen to the Word of God. Yeah. A lot of people do. But the thing is, it's like the foundation that you build. You know, if you want a strong house, you have to have a strong foundation. So if you want a strong foundation, then not only do you listen to the word, but then you follow it, you obey it, you put it into practice. If you don't put it into practice, then it's like a house that hit by a storm and it has no foundation. And what do you think is going to happen to the house? Yeah, it's going to go boom. All right, just like a lot of houses we see sometimes down south, you know, when a hurricane hits, some of them aren't built to take that force, and they're just flattened, right? But those who are have a firm foundation in the Word, and they're putting it in practice. You know, we try. You know, there's perfection isn't there yet, but we're trying. We're moving towards it and putting it into practice. Then we have a strong house that can hold up against these big waves, and it'll still stand against the storm. Next, please. So, very important. You got to get into the Word. You got to listen to it. You got to talk about it. You got to get into it, understand it. Another thing, you got to have a spiritual EKG. I know I've had those cold things put on me. I kind of go, man, it's cold. You know, what are you doing here? They say, it's going to be cold. I go, you really? Oh, yeah, it's cold. Thank you for telling me. You know, so they test your heart, see how your heart is. Where's your heart? Is it beating well? And when you put stress on it, is it beating really good with a good rhythm and stuff like that? Or they're listening and looking for things that are irregular? Well, there, the 2 to 5 there, it says this. It says, Jesus, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Okay, he got into one of the boats belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little farther from the shore. Then he sat down and taught people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." But Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." So, you know, for me, I'm a teacher. And one thing I love to do, teachers love to do what? Get the ruler out and slap, bang, bap you. Oh, those are the older days. Oh, yeah. What teachers do, or what I really like to do, is pop quizzes. You know, you just kind of, oh, let's get it, do it. Let's see what you learn from that, you know, right now. You know, pop quiz. All the students go, pop quiz. Oh, you can see them, you know, or just different type of tests. You know, you give them a test or something there just to see where they're at, see where their hearts are, see if their understanding is there. Well, Jesus is giving Simon a test, right? He's using his boat. He sat down. That's what the preachers did. I should be sitting down. And those days, they sat down. That was tradition for them. They didn't stand up. They stood up to read the word, but they sat down to preach and teach. So he was sitting there on the boat. He saw that boat. He asked for permission to get on the boat. It was Simon's boat. He already had a relationship with Simon. If you remembered it before that, you know, Simon already invited him to his house to get dinner, and he healed his mother-in-law at that time, and he was also knew about Jesus, but he wasn't following him every day, but he knew Jesus, and so did the others, his companions, Andrew, who was his brother, and James and John also were starting to get to know Jesus. So Simon's getting to know him, and then know who Jesus is. But if you look at this, you know, here's Jesus saying, well, you know, he finishes teaching. He says, well, hey, Simon, you know, put this boat out there in a deeper water and cast your net. Simon's going, what do you got? What do you know? We've been working all night, haven't even caught one fish. What are you doing here? You know, for me, it's, you know, I get a little frustrated, you know, when people tell me to do that. You know, I've worked hard, you know, and I tried my best and all that stuff. And then they're saying, oh, go do it again. I'm kind of going, no. That's my response. No. But Simon, because he's starting to get to know Jesus, and I'm sure he heard his words as he was teaching from the boat, too. He was starting to go, you know, this guy, you know, he is something. He is this. We're learning about him. He's got power in his words. He's speaking truth. And so out of respect, he went out. He cast his boat out, and he cast his nets. But I'm pretty sure the attitude was this: I will catch what? Nothing. Oh, I'll toss him out, Jesus. But I'm not going to catch anything. That's it. I'll just show you. I'm sure you know, I know it better than you, type of thing, right? That type of attitude. I'll cast my net, I'll catch nothing. Wow. How many times have we cast our nets? And we've caught nothing. Or how many times we just said no to Jesus when he asked us to do something, and we just said no. I already did it. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to go talk to that guy about Jesus. I'm not going to pray for him anymore. He already kind of got mad at me, or he laughed at me. Huh. Well, I'm not going to read the word anymore because my best friend over there says it's kind of silly stuff, old-fashioned, ancient stuff that it's not even relevant today. I'm not going to read it anymore. I'm just going to go my own way. But to follow Jesus, we can't do that. We got to have a spiritual EKG. He's testing our hearts. When he asks us to go out there, push out a little bit further, get into the word a little bit further, go over there and pray for that person, go and call that person, go write, whatever it is, he's testing the heart. Where are you? Where am I? Next, please. It says here in Proverbs, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? Jesus is looking for a faithful man. A lot of people say, hey, I'm good, I'm great, I know what I'm doing, come follow me and stuff like that. But how many are faithful? He's looking for the faithful man. Next, please. So you got to get in this word, you got to hear it, you got to read it. You gotta take on those tests. When he tests you see where your heart is. I mean, sometimes we're going to fail. Yeah. Sometimes we are going to fail. But God, you know, by his grace and mercy, he's gonna ask again. He's going to give us another shot. We hope. But it's better when you hear his voice and he says to do something, get into the word, go pray, go talk to that person about Jesus. It's better to just do it. Cast your net, no matter if you're just not going to think that you're not going to catch anything. Because look what happens. Next there, verses 6, on down a little bit further, it says, when they had done so, it's talking about the others in the boat too, because it wasn't just Simon, but this is really focused between Jesus and Simon Peter, right? When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Amazing, isn't it? The nets full of fish. It's something they probably haven't ever encountered before. They put all these fish in both boats. You know, he calls John and James over too. Get over there and help us. We can't handle all this on our own. And then it fills their boats and they start to sink. What does that tell us? When we're obedient, no matter what we think the results are, he's gonna fill the nets. I don't know what it's going to look like, truthfully. And I don't know if he's going to fill them at that moment. He can, or it might be something later on. Who knows? But he's going to fill them. He's faithful. He's faithful all the time. He is always faithful to his promises. He doesn't say the promise and he doesn't back it up. Yeah, he backs it up. Even with his own life, he backs it up. Here he is, filling the nets. And what happens? You know, anybody who encounters something like this, something beyond any man can do, you're going into, you're in the face of divinity, in the face of God and his presence, what is man going to do? Well, what does Peter do here? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. Remember, Jesus is still sitting, right? So he fell at his knees, and this is what he said. He says, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. See, when you encounter God, when you encounter the truth, when you encounter Jesus really, fully, you notice that you are sinful. I am sinful. I still remember being before that television set. I was going to church and stuff like that, and I was starting to understand more about God, but my heart still wasn't there. But when that evangelist just said, hey, you gotta confess your sins. You got to ask for forgiveness. You got to repent from your sins. And when he's saying all that, I fell down, and I don't fall down. I don't get too many tears in my eyes. You can ask my brothers or if my mom and dad were still alive. There's a rare moment that I would even cry in my life. But that time, tears were running down my face because I knew I was a broken man before a holy God. It was amazing. That happened in front of a TV. It was a TV evangelist that brought me to my knees because of it was Jesus he was speaking about. And I knew how sinful I was, and I needed help. And only he could do it. I still remember that very clearly today. Falling behind, down and repenting, turning from the sin, and where it becomes less and less, and he becomes more and more in my life. Next, please. Full nets. See, Isaiah came face to face with God too. Remember that guy named Isaiah? He says, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Well, you could have put those words right there in Peter's mouths. Right there. Same words. Different times. Same God. Next, please. So you have, you know, how are you going to follow? What does it mean to follow Jesus? You got to get into the Word. You got to listen to it. You got to read it. You got to be in it. Right? And then you got to have your heart checked. Be obedient to his call. Whatever it looks like, even if it looks like it's just doesn't, it's not going to be anything. And then when we really encounter that truth, we need to really understand that we are broken, sinful people before a holy, perfect God. And get ourselves right with him by asking for forgiveness and repenting and receiving his forgiveness, knowing that he will forgive us. He doesn't just want us to ask for forgiveness, but he's the one that actually does forgive us. He takes that sin and tosses it away as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. He doesn't remember it anymore. We might, but he doesn't. So next, we look a little bit further on here in the scripture. I'm going to pick up at verse 9. It says, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid.'" Now, this is a big thing that just happened, all right? This is something, and not only did he have his nets full, but now he's encountering his humanness before a holy God. And things are starting to click a little bit more. He's starting to understand a little bit more who he's got in front of him here. And he's going, "Oh my, I don't sure what to do." And he said, "Don't be afraid." See, Jesus reassures us. He speaks peace to us. He speaks peace. His name is peace, right? He speaks it. Speaks it to him. "From now on, you will catch what? You'll catch men, right? From now on, you're going to catch men. Unwavering commitment. With unwavering commitment, you know what happens next. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and what? Went out of the way? They followed them. And if you look at the other parts there in Matthew and in Mark, the same, you know, same scene going on there, you know, you see a little bit, they have some little bit more details because they see things. You know, they're writing from different points of view as well. Luke is writing just to mainly focus upon Simon Peter and Jesus and what's going on there. But they followed him. You know, they left everything. No, they didn't just leave part-time. No, they left everything and they followed Jesus. There was an unwavering commitment. They're making a big commitment. All that fish, that's a lot of riches probably for them right there. They're leaving that, and they're leaving whoever else, their dad or whoever else their partners were, and they're going with this guy that's just awesome to them, astonishing to them, doing astonishing things, teaching amazing things, displaying authority and power. Next, please. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, in 9:23, it's pretty clear. It says, "Then Jesus said this. He says, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself. She must deny herself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. It's a daily thing. It's a commitment. We don't know, you know, what, you know, step by step, we don't know. I mean, we're carrying our cross, and when you carry a cross, to me, you're ready to lay down your life. That type of commitment, like joining the army. You know, I have one of my cousins my nephews is going to Marines in a little while, joining up with them, you know, but, you know, you join a military, you know, and some people are just doing it for training or learning, but they can call you out there. And your life is on the line. And I hope they make that clear to these guys and men and women who join the military, that they can call them out there and their lives can be on the line. And follow him. It is a strong commitment. It's not a fence-sitting commitment. It's not an ignorant commitment. It's a commitment that you know who you're following. This one who saved you, who saved me. And it's going to be a rich blessing. Next, please. It's going to be something more than we can understand. See, and when we're overseas and working and looking for people to join in a ministry or train them as leaders or whatever, you know, Jesus is the same way. He's looking for this. You know, we call it fast. Faithful, those who are fully committed, you'll know who they are. You know, I see several people, pretty much, you know, people coming. You notice that they come time after time after time, no matter what, weather, or they're not feeling well, or whatever it is, or they got a lot of busyness going on in their lives, but they're still there. Faithful. Those people are, just like that proverb says, those are rare. Those are diamonds in a rough, you know, ready to be built up. Available, that's another tough one, because this world gets us busy, right? And you got this and that, and I want to do this and that. I got these plans to do this, that. But what about the availability? If you're going to be faithful, you better be available, you know, for whatever. You know, sometimes there's an extra thing that needs to get done. You better be available anytime without hesitation. See, these guys didn't hesitate. You know, and Simon Peter, you know, he says, well, you're going to catch men now. Oh, all right. You show me how I catch fish, you know, I'm going to follow you to catch men. There wasn't a hesitation like going, oh, but I got to talk to my dad first or my wife or something like that. No, this, I'm gone. I'm going. Submissive is very important as well. See, Simon could have just said no to Jesus and going out further and putting down the nets. He could have just said, nope, already done that. You do it. Jesus, you do it. You're on the boat. You cast net. You know, submissive is, you know, whatever you say, Jesus, whatever you say, I'm going to do. And unteachable. Always take a learning posture, you know, learning. You know, Simon Peter, you know, all these guys following Jesus, they were learning. Jesus was teaching them. He had a crash course, 3-year crash course for them. 3 years. And they're learning all these things. But I tell you, they took what they learned and they put it into practice, because we wouldn't be here today if they didn't. If they didn't carry on what Jesus taught them and showed them and built them up and equipped them to be leaders of the church, when they spread out all over that area of the world, and from there, it just kept on going, and it reached across this ocean to the United States and to North America and Canada and Mexico, around the world. It's amazing. 12 guys and a lot of women who didn't think much about, but I'm pretty sure their witness was just as powerful. 12 guys, 12, just a little group of people. And look what has happened. Millions, if not billions, have already heard the good news over these 2,000 years. Next, please. Warning, be careful, because in Luke 18 to 30, I'm not going to talk about the whole thing there, but there's a rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, I'm good. I can follow all these commands. I'm doing this and that. I'm on it. I'm good." And Jesus says, "Well, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And a rich young man heard that. He says, oh, I got 20 cars, and I got iPhones in every room, and I got TVs in my car, and I got rings on each finger, and I got all this and that. I got great plans. I'm building my kingdom. And Jesus is saying, give it up. Just like Simon Peter, just like those other guys, and follow me, and I'll give you even more than you can even understand. Well, the rich young ruler at that time, he'd walked away pretty sad, going, "Oh, I can't do it." He just couldn't do it at that time. And I hope maybe further on, maybe he did, but at that point, he didn't. Next, please. That's for us too, right? We have all these things. We have all these plans. But are we fast? Are we faithful, available, submissive, and teachable? Are we ready to serve the Lord? Are we ready to follow Him? In whatever circumstances He has us in, whatever jobs or schools or whatever we're in, He calls us. It's a calling. We've received Christ. It's a calling. What does it look like to you? You know, where are your commitments in life? You know, what do you need to give up to follow Jesus? You know, sometimes for me, sometimes it's just staying off the iPad and not playing so many games. I like golf. I play a little golf game. So it's kind of fun. I'm still bad at golf, even on iPad, though I hit the ball a lot straighter, I have to admit that, than I do out there in real life. What do you give up? What do you need to give up? Is there something in your life that holds you back from following Him completely, from being fast with the Lord? You know, that's between you and Him. So, because next time He's going to ask you, you know, push out and cast that net, you want to be ready, because, man, you don't want to miss out those amazing things. Amazing things that happen. It might not look amazing to other people, but when you're doing it for the Lord, there's that connection, and you're getting to know Him more, and He's getting to know, you know, He knows you, and you're speaking and walking with Him. It might not look like much to others, but it is a wonderful experience to follow Jesus wherever He has. I still remember in Thailand, where I would drive out to these rice fields way out there in nowhere, and I'd have to try to fit my car on one of the dikes that has rice on either side, and I'm driving there so I can get closer to the little hut that we're going to meet and worship the Lord in the rice fields. You know, but I tell you, and sometimes I felt like, why am I going to drive all that way to do that? But when I got there, what a great experience just to be with other believers amongst the rice fields, praising God in a country that doesn't know God, doesn't know that there is a God. It's wonderful. Somebody might look at it going, "You're stupid, driving all that way and going on that dike. Your car is going to end up in a rice field. You're going to plant it." They might have thought it's stupid, but it wasn't. I was following what the Lord had for me, and what a blessing it was. Next, please. So, be the dragger. Don't be the draggy, because I tell you something. I'm sure that looks kind of painful to me on a track. I know there's some grip on that track for the runners. So, be the dragger. Drag people along. Get them to the Lord. You know, and this is what Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's what it's all about. To live for him, fully committed, and just watch him do amazing things in and through our lives. Next, please. I don't know if I have something else. I think that's it. Let's pray. Father God, again, we rejoice in your word. Thank you for showing us the way, showing us how to follow you, Lord, through this example with you and Simon Peter, and seeing all the things that he went through, and then seeing his life later on, how he learned and grew and became one of the foundational leaders of the church, the early church, and then what that meant even to 2,000 years later, now, learning the same thing. We're encountering the same God. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love, your great patience, your wonderful teaching. Help us to go out, commit our lives to you, put aside things that are keeping us from being available to you or faithful or submissive or teachable, and help us to follow you and just to reap those wonderful, rich blessings that you have for us and others around us, as those fish bless those others around, Simon Peter as well. Lord, we want to be a blessing to others. Help us to go forth in that. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, and all of those people say, amen. Amen.